my birthday was today. I had so much going on. I normally don't forget my birthday because I really like that my wife makes me cherry chip cake every year. My favorite cake, and I don't always get it. And so I'm like, well, I wanted to do kind of a message on Thanksgiving, on being faithful in Thanksgiving. And so we're going to look at that today. And the title of my message today is Living in Thankfulness, which is such an important thing for us to do. And so I want to talk to you a bit about that this morning. Living in gratitude, living in thankfulness with the Lord. I don't know. There's so much going on in our world today. And you can turn on social media. You can turn on the TV. You can read so many things. And people are unhappy. Have you not seen that? The world seems unhappy, right? It's not thankful. There's a lot of complaint going on. And in a world that proclaims we need more happiness, which is interesting, that word happy is based, is the full, it came from the Latin root word happenstance, which is happiness based upon circumstance. So happenstance is the word, that's where we get the word happiness from. But the Bible doesn't use that word happy. It uses a different word. It uses the word joy, right? Joy. And joy is different than happiness because happiness, based upon its meaning, based upon its root word, is happy based upon your circumstance. That's why it's the Latin root word is happenstance, right? Happiness based upon your circumstance. But joy in the Lord is not based upon circumstances. It's based upon the Lord, right? And knowing what we have in Him. And so I want to talk about that today because the world proclaims that we need more happiness. We need more money. We need more possessions. We need more things. We need more success. And yet, as we know, as you read in your Bible or anybody who's been walking with the Lord for a while, that God calls us to something far, far deeper and far, far greater. He calls us to a life of thankfulness. And I just want to read for you, and many of you have read this before, and it's right up there, and let me read it to you this morning. It's taken from the book of 1 Thessalonians, and I want to read to you from chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, and many of us will know this because it is a very popular verse for a reason. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Rejoice always. It's interesting. So when I was, and I did some seminary work, I did some word studies on these two words. It's okay. And that word always, do you know what it means? It means always. Yeah, I wasted about a month of my life, right? Oh, me of little faith. It actually means always. Rejoice always, it says. Paul uses these words. And when in counseling and dealing with couples who are maybe fighting, we're told to teach them, don't use those kind of words like always. You always do this, you always do that, because it's not true. Well, I don't always do it. If I'm always doing it, I'm doing it all the time. But here, the word is consistent. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine living in gratitude 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Can you imagine living in gratitude? Being thankful all the time. I think if we did that, I think we would live a pretty fruitful, content life. Wouldn't you think? Right? Like Paul said, I mentioned it last week, that Paul, the Apostle Paul says, I've learned the secret to being content. I've learned the secret to it, right? No matter what it is, right? And I think one of those areas where you will live contently is if we live in gratitude, if we rejoice always. And it's not necessarily rejoicing on the current events that are happening in your life. But for the believer, we rejoice always. We can do that because we have a God. Amen? That's where the rejoicing comes from. It's not necessarily based upon your circumstances, but when you see God in your circumstances. Did you hear that? That's the key thing, right? I find that if I don't see the Lord in my circumstances, I become a pessimist very quickly, very abruptly, right? I become a pessimist. But when I see him in my circumstances, when I recognize that I have a God who cares, who's with me every step of the way, I become an optimist really quick, right? That's why I don't like watching the news, because in the news, they never, ever, ever tell me what God's up to in the world. They don't tell what God's doing in the economy, what's God doing in the world, right? They always tell you what man's up to, and it just depresses you, doesn't it, right? I want to know what God's up to. Tell me what he's up to, because I promise you, if you see him in your circumstances, you will, as it say, rejoice always. You will pray continually, and you will give thanks in all your circumstances because you see him in it. Amen? And it comes down to it, right? It comes down to our trust with the Lord, right? If you know the Lord, you will also learn that he's trustworthy. If you don't know the Lord and maybe just know about him, you won't maybe necessarily trust him, right? Because when you trust him, you will rejoice always. You will. It's just a natural outflow. You will pray continually, and you will give thanks in all circumstances. Living in thankfulness does not depend on what you have, okay? I want to be very clear on this. Living in thankfulness does not depend on what you have or how much of it you have. I just need more, right? I just need more. I think I told you the story. I remember counseling this guy. This is a number of years ago. And he needed more. And so he wanted more, and then he thought, I need more of it, right? So it started with a TV. He had a little 15-inch TV. Does anybody remember a 15-inch TV? That's what we had growing up. Yeah, it was just this little tiny thing. It was a Hitachi. Do you remember that name, Hitachi? And it was this little thing, and we would have to sit, like, right in front of it, right? So you can actually see the thing, right? And we had an antenna, right? And we would have to adjust the antenna sometimes to get the right channels. And so this guy had a 15-inch TV. And then after a while, he decided, nah, it's not enough. I need something more, right? So then he got a 21-inch TV, right? That was a big jump. 21 was pretty big, right? And then he decided, I need more. And so then he jumped to a 32-inch TV, right? And it was a flat screen now, right? More space. And then he went from that to a 48-inch, and then to a 58-inch. And then he got all the way to the biggest one, 80-inch, and then he decided he still needed more. So then he got a projector, right? And then he got an HD projector, right? That could shine on the wall, right? And then he decided he needed to upgrade his sound system because it wasn't enough. I needed more. So he got the Dolby system. And he had the Dolby 1.1 and then the 2.1 and then the 3.1 and then surround sound. Then he decided I needed more surround sound. Now, does having more make you thankful? It just makes your movie night unbelievable. Yes, right? Now, again, it's not what we do, but why we do it. Is it bad to have a surround sound system? Is it bad to have a projector? No, it's not what you do, but why you're doing it. If you are taking things from this world to fill you, it will become bad for you. Because the world can't fill you full to overflowing. The Bible says, God says, only Jesus, only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only he will fill you full to overflowing. Only he will make you content in all your circumstances, right? That was the mystery. That was the secret. Christ in you, Paul said. And recognizing all the fullness that you have. This world will not complete you, right? Contrary to Jerry Maguire. You complete me, right? It won't. This world will not complete you. Only Christ can do that. And the more your appetite goes up for things in this world, the less content and thankful you'll be. But the less your appetite goes up for things in this world, then the more and the greater thankfulness you'll be, because then you will look to the Lord. Amen? If you don't see what you have, you will lose what you have. Does it not say the fullness of Christ lives in us? Colossians chapter 2. And the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form in you. And in Christ you've been brought to that fullness. Right? We're full and complete in him. But if I don't recognize it, then I'm going to lose what I have, even though it's not lost. Right? Remember the example I give of the glasses on my head. Right? If I go looking for my glasses, well, I've lost what I have, right? Because I don't see that I have it. Where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? Oh, well, they're on your head. Well, as long as I go looking for what I have, I lose what I have because I don't see what I have. Right? And the enemy in this world will get you to look for things in this world to fill you. But living in thankfulness does not depend upon what you have or how much of it you have, but on who we belong to. And if you absolutely know that to the core of your being, you will be thankful in all your circumstances. Amen? It's true. One will equal the other. You look to the world, you will be unfulfilled. You will be complaining, right? You'll live in absolute misery. But you look to the Lord, he will fill you full to overflowing. True gratitude is not an occasional act, okay? It is a constant attitude that should shape the way we see life. As my mentor used to say, Chad, have an attitude of gratitude, right? He said, if you can live with an attitude of gratitude, your life, you will live a full life. But it is only possible if you recognize you're filled from the Lord. This world will not do it, right? Now, again, it's not what you do. I love golf. Brennan knows that, right? I love golf and I love doing it. But if I'm looking to golf to fill me, do you know the very thing that I love I begin to hate? And somehow I can't golf well when I do that, right? Because golf is not to fill me here, right? I can enjoy it, but if I'm looking to it to fill me, I will no longer enjoy it. It is the Lord who has to fill. And as you do that, then you can enjoy things. Gratitude is not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude that should shape the way we see life. It's the way we see other people. It should shape the way we see other people, and it should shape the way that we see the Lord. You know, thankfulness is a choice, not a feeling. I've had many discussions with people about this, right? Thankfulness is actually a choice. It's not necessarily a feeling. And in this world today, we're looking for those feels, right? We want the feeling. This generation, as I meet with young people, I want the feeling. I want the feeling of thankfulness, but thankfulness is actually a choice, not a feeling. Our world today actually quite often runs on feelings. It runs on emotions, and those emotions can lie to you, right? If you have the wrong thought, which I will call a lying thought, then that can lead to lying emotions, right? And those lying emotions are what can spiral you out. You guys have heard me say this a million times. At least I think you have, right? That if I don't judge the thought, the lying thought, then it'll stir lying emotions. And we can jump around in our thoughts, can't we, right? I can jump from thought to thought to thought to thought, but can you jump off of emotions? No, emotions, them's the stinkers. Those are the ones that trip you up because you can't jump off of emotions. Emotions have to fade off. They have to bleed off. Remember I told you about the bear that I ran into when I was doing oil patch work, seismic work out in the boonies, right? I ran into this bear, and I was freaked out. Was I emotionally heightened? Yes, I was, because I'm a person. I'm made with those emotions. And when I got around the bear finally after a half an hour of going back and forth with him, and I came away unscathed, did I start singing right away, "What a friend I have in Jesus"? No, my emotions were here. They had to bleed off. They had to fade off. They had to come down. I wasn't singing "What a Friend I Have in Jesus." I was thinking, oh my gosh, I better check my shorts, right? My emotions were high, right? And it took a while. And I remember after that, when I got out of that situation, it felt like 1,000 knives poking me all around my body. It had a physical effect. And it took me a number of hours before my emotions finally came down. Think of the most spiritual person that you know, they have those same emotions. And so we can't run off of emotions. That's why in the Bible it teaches us to hold every thought captive to who? To Christ, right? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life, right? Romans 12 teaches us to renew our minds. To what? To truth. Because your emotions can lie to you. Thankfulness is a choice, not a feeling per se, right? It's a choice. Sometimes I have to choose to be thankful. Sometimes I have to choose to see, okay, Lord, I don't want to complain. I want to be thankful in this situation. Amen? Right? It is a choice. But our world runs on feelings and on emotions, right? Notice how the Apostle Paul didn't say, give thanks for all circumstances. Right? He didn't say that. He didn't say thankful for all circumstances. He said thankful in all circumstances. There's a big difference, right? Right? So let me read it again, right? Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks for all circumstances. He didn't say that. He said give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because you have a God. You guys have heard me say, and I would like you to join me in this, but I made this decision years ago, and some seasons of life really challenged that decision I made. Some circumstances and some seasons of life really challenge it. But I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, I have come to believe that whatever comes my way in life had to pass through your hands first before it ever got to me. Because you're the author. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. So if something comes to me, it had to pass through your hands first. And so, Lord, if it passed through your hands first and it came to me, God, would you help me see you in it? That was my prayer. Just let me see you in it. Because if you allowed it to come my way, it'll serve some kind of purpose in my life. Does God do anything without purpose? All of Scripture teaches us that. Everything that he did has a purpose to it. And if man caused it, he caused it for good. Do you remember Joseph? What you brothers meant for evil to me, God made it good. Amen? Right? God made it good. And so we must see God. Paul did not say give thanks for all circumstances. Give thanks in it. In all circumstances, because you have a God who had allowed it. Right? He allowed it. And so try to see him in it. And if you see him in it, you will rejoice always. Amen? You will pray continually. This means that even when life gets hard. Anybody had seasons where life got tough and hard? We've all been through it, right? Right? It means that even when life gets hard, gets tough, when prayers seem to come unanswered. Anybody felt that way before? It's like praying to a brick wall, man. Like, and you even feel like God's gone quiet in my life. He's gone quiet. How many of us have experienced that before? Right? Yeah. He's just gone quiet. So it means when I'm going to make a choice of thankfulness, it means even when life gets tough, when prayer seems to come unanswered, when our plans fall apart, even when we feel like God has gone silent in my life, we must remember that God is always good all the time. Amen? Can you sing that song? God is good all the time. What's the next line? Song of praise in this heart of mine. Right? It has a real country feel to it. Right? But God is good all the time. And how can we say that? How do I know God is good all the time? Well, 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is what? Love. God is love. You've heard me say this before. And if God is love, then everything that he does has to be done within that act. He can't act outside of himself. Right? Just like some of his created things. A horse can't decide to be a cow, can it? It was made a horse. It has to do horse things. It can't moo. It has to neigh. It can't act outside of what it is. And God is love, so he cannot. He can find himself to act within that framework of love. He can find himself to that, so everything he does will have an act of love in it. Now, man may cause a lot of harm to you. Man may impose many things on you, but God says, I will make it for good. Romans chapter 8. I will work everything for the good of those who love me in Christ Jesus. Amen? So we must remember in the midst of all this, when life gets hard, life gets tough, God is good. How do I know that? Because he's love. Because he is love. He cannot act outside the framework of love. He's confined himself to that. Is that not good news for us? Right? That he's confined himself to love. It doesn't say God should be love or I hope to be. It says God is love. And he will not act outside of that space of love. All right. Gratitude does not ignore pain, but it transforms how we might see that pain and how we go through it. Okay, I want to be very clear on this point. Gratitude, I'm not saying, does not ignore pain. Right? We're not teaching, as social psychologists have taught, say, all you Christians teach to annihilate emotions. No, we're not saying that. But what we are saying is, what do we do with those emotions? We place them underneath God's truth and what he says about who he is and who we are in him. Amen? That's what we teach. Not that we're annihilating emotions, but gratitude does not ignore pain. We're not saying that it'll ignore pain. We're saying it transforms how we see that pain and how we go through it. Amen? When you choose to be thankful, you are declaring that our faith is not built upon what we see, but it's built upon who God is and who he said he was and is and always will be. Amen? That is something that we as a church firmly believe. He is faithful, he is present, and he is working for our good even when we can't see it. Do you remember when Jesus said, I and my Father are always at our work? Do you remember that? They're always working, even if you can't see it, right? I can look at a tree, right? But I can't see the work that's going on inside of that tree, can I? But I have enough faith to believe that those leaves will always come out in season, don't we? We don't even think about it, actually. We just say, oh, looking forward to spring. Looking forward to seeing some growth on those babies, right? Feelers hate this time of year because every time they see a leaf fall off a tree, it's just so sad. It's dying now. So we hang on to hope for spring. Spring is coming, right? Right, but we can't see the work going on inside of that tree. And God created that tree. He made that tree. But we believe and we have enough faith that those leaves will come out in season. All that God is asking you today is that would you have enough faith of the work that he's doing in you, that it will come out in your proper season, that he wants to turn your complaint into thankfulness. Do you know that if complaint is in your heart, gratitude can't live there? If there is complaint and grumbling, gratitude and thankfulness cannot live there. But the opposite is also true. Where gratitude and thankfulness is, grumbling and complaint can't be. Right? It can't be. You can be thankful in one moment, but you can be complaining in the next, right? Right? Isn't that the truth? With the same tongue, we can praise God. With the same tongue, you can curse God. You can be free in one moment in God's truth, but you can be bondage in the next by looking to the world. Right? It's so true. That's why we pray continually. That's why we rejoice always. Because as you do that, you will gain momentum in your walk with the Lord. I'm so sorry to use sports analogies all the time, but I love sports, and it's one of the best illustrations I can use. But I remember the Edmonton Oilers, right, who are my second favorite team. But I remember Winnipeg Jets are my first. Edmonton Oilers, they were horrible this one season. This was a number of years ago. They were so bad. And so the staff, the hockey club, brought them in and said, listen, guys, we have 32 games left, and you need to win 29 out of the 32 just to get the last seed in the playoffs. And that's banking on some of the other teams not doing well. And so would you believe it? They won the games they needed to. And they were the eight. They got the last seed in. And then they kept going and going and going. They had gained so much momentum. They were the worst in the league. All of a sudden, they gained all this momentum. There was a positive energy in the dressing room, on the ice. There was encouragement from the coaches, from the trainers, from the players to each other. And they gained all this momentum, and they got all the way to the seventh game of the Stanley Cup, and nobody could believe it. They gained all this momentum. Do you know what? That's the best analogy I can use. It's like that with the Lord. As you walk with Him, and as you live in gratitude, as you rejoice always, continually praying, being thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, in all circumstances, you will gain a momentum. You'll just gain a momentum in your walk with the Lord, and it gets difficult for life and its difficulties to slow you down because you just see Him. You see, hey, it passed through His hands first before it ever got to me. There's purpose in it. Lord, I trust You in it. Amen? No matter how bleak did it seem for Job? Everything got taken away from him but his wife. Can you believe that? Job's like, well, You took everything but my wife. Because he is one with her. He couldn't take her, right? But everything got taken away. Life got bleak. But who did Job hang on to? By a thread, maybe, because his friends were so not encouraging. There's a story in that. Surround yourself with people who will encourage you in the Lord. Right? But he saw God in it, right? And if you can see the Lord in your circumstances, in your life, if you rejoice always, living with an attitude of gratitude, not having the presence of complaint or grumbling there, you will gain momentum in the Lord. Is that clock right? Oh. Is it really? It's actually 11:35? Wow. Okay. I guess the pastor should wrap it up, hey? Okay. God is good. Yes. Okay. Can I just read you a couple passages from Scripture? Let me just read for you, and then I want to bring it to a pause. So just give me just a few more minutes, and I promise. Does anybody have a turkey in the oven? Yes? Jameson, you liar. You're just like, Pastor, wrap it up. Let me get out of here. Okay, let me just read for you a couple. Okay, Exodus chapter 16. Listen to what it says here, okay? And I'm going to read verses 6 to 8 of Exodus chapter 16. Here's what it says. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that we should grumble? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, Moses said, but you're grumbling actually against the Lord. Do you know that when you grumble and complain in your circumstances, you're actually grumbling and complaining against the Lord? Huh. That's Moses' point that he was trying to get across to them. Hey, go ahead and grumble. Go ahead and complain. But it's not to me that you're actually complaining to. It's actually the Lord. It's a great way out for me as pastor because if you don't like me and like my preaching, then take it to the Lord. Just take it to Him. Amen? Right? Pray for me. Right? Take it up with Him. When we complain, when we grumble, we're actually grumbling against the Lord. That's a tough one to chew, hey? That's a little bit of a tough one. I've been pondering on that one this week. Listen from Numbers, okay? How often do we go to the book of Numbers? It's such an exciting book, okay? Chapter 14, listen to what it says in verse 17 or 27 of chapter 14. Let me just read it for you. How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. How long will they grumble and complain against me? Let me flip to Philippians and let me just read that before I close here this morning. I apologize for going over. I just, the time got away on me. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, let me read verse 14 and 15. Here's what it says. Do everything without grumbling or complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. I want to end on that note. I think people would be excited to come here to this community of faith if we live without grumbling and complaining against the Lord, really, right? It would bring such a thankfulness and such an air in this place. Here is a place that sees God in everything, right? They look to find him in everything. Do everything without grumbling and complaining and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God. I promise you this, where complaint is, where grumbling is, there will be zero gratitude and thankfulness. It is Thanksgiving weekend, right? It's good to talk about because the Bible talks about it a lot. Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. Let's ask the Lord, right? I'm going to pray for us right now. And let's ask the Lord if he could give us hearts that are thankful. That not give thanks for all circumstances, but Lord, we're going to give thanks in all circumstances because we see you. Because we know we have a God who sees the beginning and the end and everything in between and how it all works together. Amen? Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful to have a weekend dedicated to Thanksgiving, to be thankful, to be grateful, Lord, because we have much to be grateful for. And I didn't even bring up your son Jesus in that. But Jesus, we are so thankful for you. There is much to celebrate because your life is in us. Your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy One, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And there's so much to be grateful. You brought us peace. You brought us reconciliation. You allowed us now to come before the Father, to come before you without getting zapped. Because your life, Jesus, your blood has set us free from that. So, Lord, we want to be thankful. God, would you help us as a church? And when I say church, it's the people. The church is the people. We don't go to church. We gather with the church every Sunday. So, Lord, as your church, as your people, Lord, would you transform our hearts and our minds from the place of grumbling and complaining to the place of gratitude and thankfulness, because we have a God. And Lord, we will become that as we recognize your presence in everything that we do in every season of life. Remind us, Lord. Remind us of your goodness. Remind us in this world that clamors for independence to depend on you. We teach dependence upon Christ, not independence. And Lord, I know if we do that, we will live with an attitude of gratitude. We will pray continually. We will rejoice always. We will give thanks in all circumstances because we have a God we know who looks after it. Lord, transform our hearts and our minds to that place. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Please go enjoy your turkeys and your pumpkin pie. Don't worry about gaining a few pounds. It's okay. It's okay. Let's be thankful and thank the Lord. We'll